This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
So about infrastructure, the old adage is pretty simple, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if you think about America's infrastructure, roads, rail, bridges, airports, and hospitals, this stuff is not exactly shiny and new. About 9% of America's bridges, for example, are structurally deficient. That's from the American Society of Civil Engineers. And yeah, they have a vested stake in changing things. But so do a lot of you, who wrote to us to share what's broken where you live.
Roads! Potholes are everywhere, and no one wants to be the government that increases taxes to pay for them.
Public transport in L.A. is shameful.
Milwaukee does a great job taking care of most things, better than most places I've lived, although the secret may have been dumping all the problems in a neighborhood that isn't mine.
Metro North train bridges in Connecticut. Norwalk is a drawbridge and often gets stuck open. You can imagine the mess that causes.
Those were Marketplace staffers voicing the thoughts of Benjamin Morris, Allison Hurd, Michael Tidrick, and Paul DeGennaro. So today, and in the coming weeks, this is what we're talking about. What happens when key parts of America's infrastructure fall apart? How does it affect our everyday lives, and who benefits when things change? President Trump has floated proposals to pump $1 trillion into infrastructure projects. But when it comes to prioritizing what should be repaired or built from scratch, how are those decisions made? There's a lot of money at stake, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, when I was recently in Los Angeles, I went to visit one project that is supposed to improve mass transit there and make driving in L.A. a little less awful. You're going to hear me and Rick Jagger. He works for the L.A. Metro.
Where are we standing? What are we looking at?
We're standing at Broadway and 2nd. This will be the future station site of the Broadway and 2nd regional connector. What the regional connector does is connect the region because we have lines that operate from Azusa and Pasadena into the downtown area. We have lines that operate from Long Beach and Santa Monica into the downtown area. But right now, people have to get off those lines and transfer to the subway system and then reconnect to their lines.
How much does all this cost and where does the money come from?
We have a full funding grant agreement with the federal government. They've chipped in about $640 million for the project and have given us a $160 million loan. And the rest of the money comes from the state and local. This is a Measure R funded program. Measure R was a half-cent sales tax that was approved by the voters back in 2008. So this project is being funded by that. And we've leveraged those local dollars to get the federal government to participate in their share of the project.
You guys are about 28% over budget. What happened?
We ran into a lot of unknown utility work for this project, being built in probably the oldest part of downtown L.A. There were a lot of uncharted utilities that we ran into, and that became a real nightmare for us. So what we did, what the board did last year was kind of right-price the project and increase the budget, and now the life of project is the $1.75 billion. And we're fairly confident that we'll finish the project on that budget.
You know, one of the things when I look at the numbers, right, so Metro ridership is up. On the rails, but overall, you're not really making a dent with the buses or taking traffic off the roads. Should people think, oh, this actually is going to make a difference in, say, traffic and, you know, sitting on the freeways for an hour or so?
Absolutely. What we're doing is building for the next 100 years, for the next generation. We've got another 2.3 million people coming to L.A. over the next 40 years. And if we sit back and twiddle our thumbs and don't do anything, yeah, we'll all be choked in our own traffic.
You know, we are in this sort of national conversation about infrastructure, right? The president's talked about it. Democrats have talked about it. You guys are actually doing it. Why do you think it is so hard to make substantial infrastructure improvements?
I think what you have to do is build community consensus. You have to get the people on board that where you're going to place the rail system, where you're going to place the lines, appeases to those people, and you have that public support, then you can do anything.
Rick Jagger, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that's one infrastructure project that's getting federal money. We're going to zoom out a bit. President Trump has repeatedly talked about investing in infrastructure. Indeed, he and his administration have asked states what projects they have that are shovel-ready and need funding. But not all of that information has been in one place until now. Our colleagues at APM Reports, which is American Public Media's investigative unit, created a database of all these requests. Tom Scheck is one of the reporters behind the project. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Tom, you and your colleagues spent about 5 months digging into this data on infrastructure projects across the country. What did you find?
Well, we were interested to figure out how states were dealing with the Trump administration and the election of President Trump in November. And what we started to find was that several states, when we did open records requests of them, were really being queried by the Trump transition team about what their priorities were for infrastructure. And so we went from there and started to say, well, we should ask other governors about what they're putting on their wish lists as well. We also asked the National Governors Association, which was collecting this information, to give us the list. They declined to give us the list, and so did some other governors. So what we decided to do was start doing more open records requests saying this is public information, it's a public project dealing with taxpayer money. And so at that point, we decided, well, let's just build this list ourselves.
You know, we've been asking our audience about kind of the things that they see every day that are infrastructure projects that they want to be funded or changed. What kind of stuff is showing up in your database?
Well, a lot of the projects submitted by the governors focus on road and bridge projects. There are also requests for transit, like the regional connector project that you just visited. Rural broadband seems to be this big issue for governors as well. 12 states made that request. And then the other thing that we have isn't this isn't just a list from governors. We also included priorities from infrastructure consultants, union leaders, and others who the White House reached out to say, give us your lists. And that's where you start to see a lot of these private projects, oil and gas projects, high voltage transmission lines that carry wind energy from the middle of the country to the coasts. And then there's also other projects that deal with water, private water, in terms of like delivering water from the Mojave Desert to Los Angeles. That's a private firm that's pushing that. Some of these projects are controversial. The private investors are saying, you know, all we need is a few regulatory hurdles to be cleared that the president can do. And that in turn will then boost job creation and improve infrastructure.
Well, we're talking about, you know, potentially $1 trillion here. Where does all of this money come from?
Well, $1 trillion to you and me may be different than what they're talking about. The president himself during the campaign, he was saying he wants to create $137 billion in tax credits for developers who then invest in public infrastructure. And what they're arguing is that's going to be $1 trillion over 15 years. Now, the president has said other things too. Recently, he said he was considering a gas tax. They walked it back and said, well, he was asked to consider it. That's why he's considering it. But he also said that he's willing to invest with public money, which is something a lot of Democrats are saying has to be done. The other thing that he's really, really pushing is private investment. He thinks that you can accelerate a lot of these projects through private investment, but there's also pitfalls in that as well.
On that front, there have been concerns about public-private partnerships. Tell us about that.
The first thing is that private firms may be willing to build a new road or a building, but they're going to want something back. They're going to want tolls. They're going to want fees. The other thing is that this is controversial in the public in terms of privatization of public infrastructure. I was at an infrastructure conference last month, and a consultant acknowledged it's so unpopular. He even told the audience to not call it privatization and instead call it asset recycling. And the biggest concern here is that also that they want to do something in terms of focus on needier projects. And they're worried that investors are going to be looking at the biggest bang for their buck, right? So low-income communities, low-population communities aren't going to deliver the same bang for the buck. And then those projects that may be needy may be left out.
You know, there are more than 500 projects in your database. And I guess a question hanging out there is, how do the winners get picked? Well, what are the Trump administration's criteria?
Well, at this point, it's not clear because the Trump administration's not really saying anything publicly and haven't called us back. But speed is clearly important. The president said he wants direct funding to projects that can start within 90 days. He's clearly made jobs a clear part of this economic agenda. So he wants to know how many jobs are these projects going to create. And then the other issue is private investment. He's made that a priority. And he talked about, okay, if we spur kind of tax credits, that will spur this economic agenda. He is a real estate investor after all. So he understands a lot of these projects and how they can happen. But the big question is, how does that work outside of the private arena and in the public arena that is Congress.
Tom, infrastructure projects have a lot of money behind them. Sometimes they're transparent, sometimes they're not. Are there ethical questions about who stands to benefit from all of these projects?
Well, as you can see, the White House has obviously been pushing the ethics envelope with this president. And it's one of the things that we're going to be looking at going forward here is who's financing these projects, you know, who has financial ties to the president, who has financial ties to the infrastructure team. And that's going to be a critical question, especially when it comes to privatization, because, you know, some of these companies may be shell corporations. And I think the public's going to want to know whether anyone's benefiting from this financially.
Tom Scheck is an investigative correspondent for our sister organization, APM Reports. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
You can check out the database at marketplace.org and look for your own state. And while you're there, share details on the infrastructure problems you see every day. We want to find some of the worst problems in the U.S. and report on them. Remember, you can email us, weekend@marketplace.org, or follow us on Twitter. We're @marketplace WKND.